but I felt your touch, so here I am. You took the time to ease my mind, so here I am, Lord. You gave me a chance to make the wrong, so here I am, Lord. You touched my heart, made me a part, so here I am, Lord. I don't know much, but I felt your touch, so here I am.
So thankful that I this nice atmosphere that we have here of singing and praise and thanksgiving that we have in our hearts for all the blessings that's been bestowed upon our life. I know that that I'm thankful. So y'all hear me fine? There, here we go. All right. So, where was I? Before I was... Oh, yes. That's a quality that I think that would benefit everyone if they would be thankful and let the other fruits of the Spirit work in their lives, to being having faith, being patient, and being thankful. To know that we are blessed, to recognize the blessings that are upon us. By the way, Brother Smith is at Sleem Memorial Hospital with my grandmother. Just got admitted to the hospital. She's evidently had a stroke. Started noticing some symptoms of it, and I can't explain what kind of stroke they said she had, but it's one that she had it probably several weeks ago, but the symptoms just start coming on later, you know. And so she got to where she couldn't walk, her speech got really slurred, and she got choked on everything she ate. And so while I was up there, she got choked again. And she's probably going to be in there in rehab or something for a while, because this has kind of had an effect on her. So anyway, so she went in yesterday, and they're up there with her tonight. She had an episode of choking while I was up there. Dad felt, while they were making decisions, he wanted to be up there. So that's where they're at tonight. So say, what's that? Sleem Memorial. Which, that's a, I've been over there several times. Oh, that's a nice hospital. I've been over there a couple of times myself. So I was thinking about how contentious the world is, and I used to have a really contentious spirit that I wanted to debate with everybody about everything. You know, if somebody didn't believe something I said, I wanted to try to convince them that what I said was right. You know, but I've matured since then, those days, and I'm realizing it's absurd to try to do something like that. More, you know, somebody doesn't see your point of view, even though you may know 100% you're right about something, it's to argue with somebody is completely absurd. You can appeal to somebody. You know, it's better to appeal to somebody, ask them for their consideration. And if they won't give you any consideration, you just let it go. And I was getting, you know, I was thinking about that in conjunction with, there's some people that if their heart isn't open to receive something different, something, you know, their mind's closed, it would be like, I don't know, does anybody have a fear of claustrophobia? Anybody got claustrophobia in here? Oh, that's good. Y'all are doing pretty good. Brett does. Okay. He doesn't like it. So it'd be like me just saying, all right, that's irrational. to have a, that's what a phobia is, a totally irrational fear. So I'm going to show Brother Brett, the first chance I get, I'm gonna shove him in a closet and bar the door. Yeah. I'm going to lock the door on him as fast as I can get him in there. And I'm going to leave the light off, you know. Because he's going to kick the door open. Well, my point is, that's just as absurd, too, to do something. And it's mean, and it's foolish to do something like that to somebody. My dad did it to me when I was a kid. It's probably why I'm not claustrophobic today. He used to get me down when I was little. And he's told this in church itself. But he would play around and put a pillow over my face. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I would go crazy, just crazy. And he'd say, he'd pull up off, just relax, just relax. And I'd lay there and relax and say, see, it doesn't do anything to you. But, you know, I had to fully trust my dad. But to try to pry somebody, you know, there's a lot of people's beliefs out here that are, that you know that it's an irrational belief. But if you try to take that away from them, it would throw them into a complete panic and down spiral. They would not know what to do if you took that away from them. That's what then they'll tell you. You can't take that away from me. Have you ever had anybody tell you that before? You can't take that away from me. So it's like we've said, somebody has to get their eyes open. They have to get their eyes open. They have to be ready to receive. You start slinging T-bone steaks out there to somebody who's not hungry. You're just wasting it. And it'd be like, what does the Bible call that? It's casting your pearls before the swine. They'll turn around and rend you with them. Whatever, you know, that's what'll feed them to turn. There's, you know, it's dangerous to have wild hog get after you. You know, they've got big tusks and they can cut you open really quick. They got powerful, sharp tusks. They use those things to root up the ground and eat down in the dirt. And if you start trying to take somebody, if you corner a wild hog and get him where they you get between them and their babies, or you get them cornered, it's you better be able to climb a tree fast, because they can come at you and they can rip you open. Well, casting your pearls before the swine happened, same tune. You're laying there bleeding. You don't know what happened to you. They just tore into you. But how to know the wisdom of who will receive and who to leave alone, you know, is a real key piece of wisdom. And it's not, it will never come by debate. It will never come by force. It will never come by, it's not going to come by man's ways. You know, have you ever seen, you ever listened to a political talk show where they put a guy on the left and the right, you know, the Democratic Party and Republican Party, and one will say something, the other will say something. One will say something, they argue back, and they never ever listen to one another. They just talk past one another. Well, I don't want to be guilty of doing that with the precious knowledge of the truth of God, to where I'm talking past people. I'm not listening to what they have to say. I've got so much of what I believe is right that I'm not hearing what they're really hungry for, where I could really help them. And to not even get in an arena of debate with them. So, you know, there's a, what's that, the serenity, prayer, what is that? God grant me the serenity to accept. It can change, and accept the things I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference, or something like that. And so, that's if you talk to a lot of successful people out here, that's the one thing that makes them successful. They do not focus on things they don't have any control over. They only focus on what they really have a tangible control in their life, the decisions that they can make for themselves and the immediate people around them. But they don't really worry too much about things, they don't really pay attention. They kind of know what's going on in world events. They can tell you a little bit about them, but they don't fret over them because they say, I don't have any control over that. If I spend too much effort thinking about that, it's going to turn my ship in a direction that is off course from where I'm wanting to go. Well, think about where you want to be, where you're wanting to go in your life, in the natural and in God. Are you spending too much time focusing on things that you cannot control? Or, are you, and it, that's, somebody, I was telling somebody about this prayer. They brought it to my attention, and I said, it doesn't seem to me that you should have to have too much wisdom to know the difference. But the acceptance of the things you can't control and the serenity of the things you can control, or is it just the opposite way? Be able to recognize should be the easiest thing, because when I talk to people, or when people talk to me and my job, if you start a rational person, if you start pinning you down, somebody's talking, I'm worried about this, I don't know, and if you start pinning them down and asking the question, is there anything you can do about this? They will tell you, no, there's nothing I can do about this, right? So it's beyond your control. It's beyond my, so they got the, they recognize, okay, there's, they can recognize that. They have enough understanding, wisdom. If you have given a little guidance, they can see that, right? Or, I don't know what to do about it. Well, let me ask you a question. If you did these things, would it resolve it? Yes. If I would just focus on that, then you can control this thing that's come up in your life if you address it. Well, if you pin people down, they can recognize. But the wisdom is without anybody direct helping you to recognize, I understand the difference between what I can and cannot control. Me and Cindy get in that discussion all the time. Something will come up in a conversation about something we are concerned about, right? Me and her will be concerned about something. Could be about the church. Could be about work. A lot of it's about work sometimes. And I just say, there's nothing we can do about this, so we've got to not worry about it. There's not anything we can do. Could be about the kids. It could be about anything. So why should I worry or fret? My God's never failed me yet. He's in control of a lot of situations. He's in control, and he's the one who hung the moon and the stars and created the great galaxies and the whole universe and everything that was created. So I have to believe that all things he's mindful of. And for me, I'm a little bit different than a lot of people, I guess. Over the years, I've prayed about this, and I've ask God about it, but, you know, how much, God, are you really concerned about? You know, are you concerned, you know, that I went to Baskin and Robbins and bought an ice cream cone? I mean, is that, did you plan that out? Or, you know, that I did that today? Or that whether or not I work at this company or that company? You know, and you can give me, people can give me answers, but I've heard all the answers on that, and I still don't know. On how far, you know, that where is what is destined in your life. And there probably each one of us here has an answer on that, what they believe. Or I could question, sit down and interview every one of you. And some of you have heard enough of the, what you talk to know what you believe on that, you know. But but not to focus too much on the destination. A lot of if you grow up in Christianity, whether you come to the body or you grew up in another church, there's a lot, almost, if you listen to a Southern gospel station, almost every song there is about the destination. You know, about every now it's getting about every third song, but is about the destination. You know, every song is about that mansion on a hill and that fair land and all that. It's all about the destination. But if it was, the focus was on the destination, then why are we here to begin with? So I've been saying, you know what, I want to, this is where I am. This is where I'm at, and there is so much here, and there's so much. I've been all my, you know, life, I've been trying to figure out the mysteries of God and the mysteries of the universe and how all this great conglomerate thing is going on. How does this work, right? That's what I've done. And somebody posted something on Facebook the other day that blew, it kind of, what's the word? Not paradigm, it gave me a complete paradigm shift. I thought, wow. I never thought of looking at it that way. And it was this. George Washington Carver was a scientist. And he prayed. He asked God to show him the mysteries of the universe. How all this worked. And what he ended up doing is finding, I don't remember how many uses of the peanut that a lot of his research, he broke grounds on. I mean, we got peanut butter and we got oil, peanut for that. There's so many things he found for the one of the small things on earth. He unlocked a big mystery on one of the smallest things, the peanut. God told him, I think in this, what I read is, you couldn't understand the mysteries of the universe, but I'm going to show you something that you can make a difference in this world in, just by, I'm going to show you something on this earth that you're going to get an understanding that nobody on this earth knows about. And it was the peanut. Of all things, so simple, Sister McGowan. Well, so it turned a shift in my mind. God, I don't have to. I mean, I thought I had to understand. I wanted to know the mysteries of the universe. You know, how all this is going to work. Where is really God? You know, where's this spirit world and how's that operate? And, you know, where is it, another dimension, Keith? I don't know. Is it, you know, I wanted to know all that stuff. And Jesus laid it out pretty simple in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then he laid it out in two words. Two phrases make that. You know, at first he told everybody, he said, you know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the mourners, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Goes through and lays out how to live a life of God's character laid on the earth in just in three chapters. And then somebody come up with the deal. Well, which is the greatest commandment? He said, well, you know, love God. Everything you got. And he said, and then really he's the one is the one is kind of is tied to that. There's only one way you can reflect that, in other words. The only way you can reflect that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I know Paul, the apostle, followed up with that by saying, you could understand all the mysteries of the universe. You could quote the Bible backwards and forwards. You could even raise people from the dead and great miracles and healings. But if you don't have charity, you don't have that love for other people flowing through your heart, you're nothing but a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. In other words, if you could know all that, you could spew all that, tell everybody all that, but you're just making noise. That's all you're doing. Because it doesn't mean anything. So I thought about that, and I thought about the scripture. It says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, to do justly and to love mercy and walk honorably for God. I want to be merciful. I know I will attain mercy. I want to love being just. I want to have that the right balance in my life where I'm loving and I'm a merciful person. And if I do that, I don't really have to understand every deep thing and mystery. But we get right back down to it being just simple again. So that's, I mean, I didn't think I had anything to say, but I guess I can unload on you guys what's been going on in my mind lately, what I've been thinking about. So I wanted to share that with you, and then to take up the prayer requests. So I got a text here from Dad on a couple of things. Brother Ron Johnson asked for prayer tonight, and Brother Curtis had to work late. So, is there any other prayer requests? Well, Sister Elsie. Stuart? The mic craft is not familiar. For some reason, I thought I saw him walk in back there, but he went home. Okay, but the mic craft is not feeling well. Sister Pat, yes. You need to pray. She's got to make a decision. Well, the doctors are going to, and her will make a decision on what she needs to do, but ask God to help her. Brother Painter? Death and I are sick. His wife's home with him. That's happened to me before. It happened to me two or three times I worked at this place. Every paycheck, I would be in a panic because it was messed up. and I didn't get my money till like three or four days later, so I understand. So she asking if we pray that they get that fixed for her. Okay. He's having some tests, but I'm not even. Keith. All right. If the ushers had come forth. Receive the offering. And we'll stand and pray. God, our Creator, find presence, Lord, that you would help those that are sick, sister, ones that are with cancer, Sister Elsie and Sister Pat, help them touch my Nana in the hospital, Lord God, ones, all these needs that were brought up today. Ron Johnson, Lord God. Lord God. Brother Nathaniah, Lord, we ask you to be with them. Lord God. Sister Holly's paycheck. Oh God, help us all be merciful. Help us all be kind. Help us all learn to love like you loved us. That you care for us. God, oh God, oh God, we do, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Smith's words about starting out with thankfulness, and going through and showing us, those are the steps to really understanding and having that relationship with God of going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, how to live our life. I think about the doctrines of, the eternal judgments and baptisms and things, and that being the meaty matters. But as far as putting things into practice, being pure in heart or truly putting on charity, not putting it on as a show, but trying to put that into my life and being there for others and trying to suffer myself to be defrauded. Those are things that's where the rubber meets the road, though more or less, sometimes it's more like where the metal meets the road when you've already ripped the tire off. That's how it feels sometimes with me when you're trying to put those things into practice. I know I should. It's just sometimes going that extra step and saying, stopping myself, Sister Tiffany, whenever someone cuts me off, saying, "Well, bless them, Lord." And not meaning it, "Well, bless them, Lord," but bless, Lord, protect those people because they are in a hurry right now, and, protect them and those around them, having the right kind of spirit. And because I often, I don't know that I practice that as much as I should. And as he was speaking about having a heart of thanksgiving, that's where you really start with that. Chelsea and I were talking about that recently, and she mentioned it as far as, I was asking her, what do you think we could do to just change, and not necessarily our home life. I mean, we're just starting anew and trying to figure out, how everything goes as far as in our life. But how can I get a stronger or a better walk with the Lord? How can I have a closer relationship with Him? And we were talking about thankfulness and talking about just acknowledging those things that God has done, and if you, start out with those, I told her it's, and this is why I said it, it's sad that in my mind, that the very first thing that I should think about is that, I was given one more day. I was given one more opportunity to serve Him, to lift my hands up, to praise Him, to thank Him, to do something. But I take that for granted every day. And that's something I want to have more of a thankfulness. That was another thing that was coming through my mind is I'm not here for me. When I say that, I'm saying God has a purpose if I will just yield myself to Him. There's something greater for us to do, especially in the earshot here and in this church and the body of Christ. We have been called out, a chosen generation. There's a job for us to do. There's a job for me to do. And I want to keep that. I want to keep that at the forefront. I really was appreciating where he was also going as far as thinking about, the goal out there. But I want to, and I've said this before. It's a day by day. I may never get to that goal if I don't take care of the next step in front of me. That goal is just a pie in the sky. I'm never getting there. I want to have that closer walk with the Lord today, right now. This is what I can affect. I can't affect 5 years from now. I don't know what will happen 5 years from now. I don't know what steps are going to happen between them, but I have been thinking a lot. I know I might seem like I'm going different places, but it makes sense in my mind. I just can't get it out to you guys that way. I'm sorry. I've been thinking about my life, going back to as a child, even being here in this private school, and different decisions or different doors that I went through or chose to go through, and how that took me a different direction. It made me go this way versus if I would have taken this door, I would have went another way. And I was thinking about that, and I'm hoping that that's part of maturity in my mind, realizing, I need to really consider and include God in those decisions, because if making the wrong decision or taking that wrong door takes me one more step away from Him instead of closer to Him. And so I've just been trying to be a little more introspective and think about those things and consider, God, I want to consider you in those steps. I want to consider you in the things that I'm doing. I want to consider that I need to be more thankful in my life. I'd like to say I'm very thankful for my wife. I appreciate that God gave me the opportunity to marry a godly woman, someone that has a heart that is seeking Him. That's important. It's something that I was desirous of, and God, He granted that petition. And I want to thank Him for that. I want to appreciate that today. You know, I want to lift those things up in my life. I don't want to say gimme, 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 and then when he give me, gimme, gimme, then okay, thanks, Lord, whatever. You know, now here's my new list. You know, as Brother Smith says, I just love the cosmic Santa Claus. It cracks me up. I see a Santa Claus in a spacesuit or something. But anyway, I don't want to have that attitude. I want to be appreciative of the blessings that God has given me. He has given me this opportunity to be in here, to be with you people. I really do not want to take that for granted. You know, having pretty much grown up here, I can look out over these pews and see people who are no longer there anymore. People who played a part in my life. Some of you may not know a few of them, but, you know, in that third pew over there and fourth, Sister Kinsinger used to sit over there. Brother House used to sit over on the second row over on this far side. You know, there was Sister Slazier. Sister Tony was over there. You know, different ones. And even one time, my grandma would sit there and look like she was mad at everybody. But she wasn't. She was just staring through you. Okay, I promise. You know, but those people that they planted things in my heart. Precious people who were on this road before me and who I didn't have to reinvent the wheel. I got a chance to walk in their footsteps. I got a chance to walk behind them. And I want to appreciate what they've put in my life. You know, their labors weren't in vain in me. I want to take notice of that. I want to realize, you know, I'll just speak to Sister Kinsinger. I remember going to visit her, and she would be in such pain, and next thing you know, she'd be speaking in tongues. You know, she had no fear of that. She knew where her comfort came from. She knew where it came from, and that was a testament to me. It was saying, you know what? That's what I want, that kind of relationship with you, Lord. I want to have that relationship that I can feel that close to you, to be able to get that spirit flowing and get that need, that help that I need at those times. So I'm just giving you my heart. I appreciated what he had to say, and it was sparking some different thoughts in my mind. And also, you know, on this wonderful Wednesday night, I'm not going to sit on the service. I'm going to get up here and I'm going to do my part. No matter what little part that would be, I want to help pull the load. You know, that's part of the job also. You know, I'll just say this. I appreciated being able to, anytime I can have the opportunity to help move or do those type of things, because also I know, you know, I end up moving quite a bit, and so I need help. But that's something I'll just tell you, I'm just confessing, moving, there's not a part of it I like about it. You know, I mean, I'm just being honest. I just, for when I move, I don't want to pack everything up, because then it takes me forever to get it back where I think it needs to be, wherever I've moved to. I end up always losing something. And then, you know, the boxes and just the whole deal of it all. But because it takes a lot of effort. Well, this is, you know, the church has been compared to a ship, to a plane. You know, this is something that there's work that goes into it. And I want to help do my part to get it off the ground. I don't want to be dead weight. You know, if they're in a boat, if it's sinking a little bit, you want to get some of the weight out. Or if the plane's going down, you know, for whatever reason, get some of the weight out so it'll come back up a little bit. Well, I don't want to be the dead weight. I want to lift my hands today, and I want to help bring the Spirit in. I want to bring that current in so we can get up off the ground and get a little closer. Because, you know, this world, it's not getting any nicer. People aren't getting a lot friendlier out there. I need more of His Spirit. I want to be able to come in and have a positive attitude. Not just to be positive, but to realize and be thankful for that God has called us out of this world. He has called us to a wonderful, the calling, the high calling in Jesus Christ. To rule and reign with Him for one day. And I want to keep that ever in front of me. But walking day by day, I can start by being more thankful. You know, if I get manna from heaven, I don't want to gripe because I've got manna soup and manna tacos and manna enchiladas and manna souffle and cheesecake manna. Oh, I'm sick of manna. No, I want to say, you know what? Thank you, Lord. I have something to eat today. I've been provided for one more day. One more day, I'm not worrying about that. And that's the way God blesses. Every day, you know, that with the manna, each day they were only supposed to get for that day. He was just helping them a little bit more with that faith. I need to be the same way in my life. I need to realize, God, what you have given me is what you know I need to be able to make it day by day. I don't need to be, you know, I know we need to, we have to be concerned or think about, you know, we just in today's society and the way things are, you know, there's nothing wrong with saving some money aside for rainy occasions, things of that nature. But I don't want to worry about it. I don't want to put so much thought into what may happen that I've wasted my life thinking about those things, and I haven't lived my life for God. I haven't lived my life in faith. I don't want to worry all the time about, you know, my job. I've mentioned this over the pulpit before. It is to do nothing, basically. Oh, no, that's not true. I sometimes help to change situations. I'll go in, I'll audit a facility and see what needs to be changed. I'll recommend those things. Those are the good type of customers. Those are the kind of things I like to do. The other 98% of the time is when people calling me and, you know, they don't like my shoes. They don't like the color of their can. They don't like me. They don't like, you know, my ancestors. They don't like anything about anything. And I have to try to make that a better situation. Well, that affects my pay. However I handle that situation, that affects me. And my temperament, that goes against me. Because then I'm like, uh-oh. You know, another call, that means that could be $5 more out of my pocket. I'm just giving you that. But, you know, I've been trying to think about that lately and say, God, you know what I need. You know what my family needs. I don't want to put so much worry into that. You know, I'm going to do my job as best as I can, and God will take care of me. Because I'm a child. I'm His child. And that's how I want to live my life, not just from my job, my standpoint, but with my family life, with every aspect. I just need to come and present myself a living sacrifice to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Use me, Lord. Here I am. Whatever you need today, Lord, here I am. You know, you want me to clean the bathroom, Lord? Give me that toilet brush. I'm there. You know, you need me to give me that vacuum? I'm there, Lord. You know, whatever it is today, that's what I want to find my hands doing. So I just wanted to get up tonight also and just say how it is a wonderful Wednesday, Brother Painter. And let me tell you how many times I've thought about, a couple of years now since you talked about all the different days, the different names of them. And, you know, that's also a better way of looking at the week, you know, especially Marvelous Monday, because most of the time it's Moaning Monday. You know, because you get to work immediately. Everyone's like, you know, it's Monday. You know, no one is happy. But you know what? Hey, it's the start of a new week. It's an opportunity to shine for my God. And so I want to say it is a marvelous Monday. This is a wonderful Wednesday. It's a great day to be alive serving our Lord.
Satisfied with me, want my life to be what it have it be, and when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me.
tonight. And I appreciate him and thank him for his goodness. You know, as we were singing a while ago, I thought, Lord, am I really, really thankful as I should be that you brought me to your people? You brought me to where I am today. You opened my eyes and let me see the way there it is. And I think, oh God, I know I'm not as grateful as I should be. I know I'm not as grateful as I should be. Oh God, help me to be more appreciative of where I am, what I'm doing, and to be really able to be more thankful for you that you gave your life on the cross for us. As Brother Smith was talking Sunday, it's not the red blood, but the white blood that God has spread on every one of us if we'll just listen to him. Oh, God, I'm so thankful for that today. It is his blood, too, but it's a white blood because you can't wash in blood and get white. That's an impossibility. But you have to be washed in the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. And, oh, God, I want to be thoroughly cleansed, not just part way, not just part of the time, not every once in a while, but all the time. It says, how's it go, inside, outside, throughout, or however that goes. I want it all the way, not just a veneer, but a true, really feeling of God, to have that work in my spirit, and as things come towards us each day, as we can have a marvelous Monday, a wonderful Sunday, a gracious day, you know. Each day is different, but we can, I don't remember how Brother Peter put it, but it was, you know, we can, each day is a blessing of God. Each day is a blessing if we'll just think of it that way. Oh, God, I want to be found serving the Lord every day, not just part of the time, not every once in a while, but all the time. Thank God. I appreciate him tonight, and I want him to know that I love him. I love him. And, you know, the way we show the Lord we love him is to serve him, is serve him. And as Brother Smith was talking Sunday in Bible study, you know, it's a wonderful way serving the Lord. If there was no reward at the end, if there was no reward, I would still want to be serving the Lord. I would still want to serve the Lord because he is so kind to us. A lot of people serve the Lord because they don't want to go to hell. They don't want to burn in hell, you know, as the world teaches us. They use it as a fire escape. But I want to serve the Lord because I love him. I love him. I love him, and I want to show him by being diligent and faithful on the job.
Sunday about the white blood. I know this may sound silly to y'all, I've been here all these years, but I really thought it was red blood. I really thought when they talked about the life of Christ, they was talking about the life that, like our lives, you know. That's what I thought they was talking about. That's what I thought all these years. Thank you, brother. Thank you. So he opened my mind that Sunday, and I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. I appreciate all these words that we hear here. It's life. The life that Jesus lived. The life. The Bible. The words of life. That's what we have. Jesus told his people, said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. I knew that that was the Spirit, and I knew that that was the Word. But I didn't put it together with the way Brother Smith gave it to us Sunday. So I just wanted to say I appreciate that. And the songs that we've been singing about, I want my life to be what God wants. Life again. Unless we have the life and apply it to our lives, it's to no avail. So that's what we sing about. That's what we talk about. And Brother Smith has plainly told us, I believe it, that our minds have to be just right. or we won't receive it. We will not receive it unless our minds, and maybe that's been my problem again. Maybe it's, he's also told us that every one of us has to go through a process. And maybe part of that process is getting the ground tilled. I feel bad that it's taken over 50 years for me to get my ground tilled. So, young people, I don't know what to tell you. I hope it don't take our young people 50 years, you know, like it has me. I don't really think we have 50 years. But I really believe that as we surrender our minds to God, that He will help us. And I've watched how people, it seems like when people surrender to God, that's where God helps us again. The more we surrender, that lets you know I haven't surrendered real quick. I thought, even in the Old Testament, do you remember when they went to take the land? Part of their complaint was some of these people had chariots of steel. Chariots of iron is what they said. And I've looked at that, and I thought, you know what? In our lives, if we have iron wheels, almost like iron wheels like they had in the chariots, if we have iron wheels, we won't surrender, and the land can't be took. Does that make sense to you folks? Iron wheels, those people wouldn't take the land because they had chariots of iron. And they didn't take the land. They were afraid. And Joshua plain told those people, you can do it. Moses told them they could do it. But they didn't believe. My brother McGowan, Brother McGowan back here is always telling us, we've got to believe. He's telling me that. He said, Paul, you just don't believe. Well, those people didn't believe either. And they didn't take the land because they were afraid. They operated out of fear. So, when you put all these, I've called them keys together, it will help us. You know, we just got to remember, God is doing the work. We've got to surrender. And He'll help us. He'll help us. I've sat around here listening to Brother Smith, and I thought, my God, how I know I heard Brother Tucker, and I know I heard Brother Liniger say some of these same things, but I didn't hear them. The words I heard, but I didn't hear it. We have to have our land cultivated. So, anyway, I'm glad to be here tonight. I was supposed to be on vacation this week. I've been working harder at home than I do on my regular job. I'll be glad to go back to work so I can get some rest. But I'm glad to be here tonight. And I shut my eyes a while ago, and I felt like I was just drinking. I thought, Lord, if I could just come to church tonight and just drink. I was driving down the road coming to church. I thought, if I can just go up there and just feel that wonderful feeling, just feel that wonderful feeling, then I know, you know, it'll be worth it right there. When you can jump in the water and go swimming. I don't know. I'm sure I'll. When I was younger, I loved going swimming. I still like it, but I don't do it very often. Matter of fact, I can't even remember the last time I went swimming. I just don't, my goodness. Anyway, but it's the same with coming to church. We can just jump in and just feel that wonderful, feels like water, but it's that wonderful spirit all around us. And we can say, God, thank you. Thank you, God. He's talking about moaning Monday. Again, living for God. Sister McGowan was talking about it. Let me tell you something funny. I really do believe this is living for God. This is some of the benefits of living for God. I used to ride my bicycle to work. I loved it. And I'd go to work on Monday. Of course, my blood would be pumping. But I'd be, after being in a wonderful service here, or even in Glenwood, I'd go to work on Monday. I'd walk through the door smiling because that's the life of Christ Brother Smith was talking about Sunday. I'd go through the door hollering. I'd say, woo! That's my song. I really love it. It really should be a Christian song. That song that I don't even know who sings it. That guy sings it, song, he goes, "Woo, I feel good." I love that song. On Monday morning, that's the best time to do it. Morning Monday. You go in there and you get around the coffee pot. And yeah, and you aggravate people, bumping into them. Hey, how you doing this morning? And they look at you and say, it really is morning. I said, yeah, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just great? And they'd say, you really need to be a little quieter. I don't see a reason to be quieter. But you know what? The closer to God we get, I really believe. We talk about this world going one direction and we're going the other direction. That wonderful feeling that's inside of us, that wonderful feeling, we'll carry it with us everywhere we go. And people, they may not appreciate it, but they got to admit there's something there. They got to admit there is something there. And you can look at them. You don't have to preach to them. You just don't have to say anything. Well, of course, you can't help it. Can't be quiet. Who was it in the Bible couldn't be quiet? Who was it? Jeremiah could not be quiet. He told God, "Them people are not listening to me. I'm not saying another word." But he couldn't. He couldn't be quiet. He told him, he said, "Lord, it's like a fire set up in my bones. It's like a fire. And that fire should be getting hotter and hotter and higher and higher. It should be." And you know what? We can sit and be quiet. Be still. And that fire could be raging, roaring inside of us. And people will feel it. People will feel it. Was it the disciples? They walked by. Even their shadow was raising people from the dead. I know we're not doing that. I know that. But that's where the fire's got to get hotter. Got to get higher. At the wild, we can't be quiet. Can't be still. But when we are quiet, when we are still, people can feel it. I'm not preaching to you folks. I'm talking to myself. If y'all get good out of it, that's great. But we got to resurrect the dead first, spiritually. I'm talking about me. Yeah, me. We got to resurrect self. Even when you're eating food and you're trying to, and you have to help people, like in wartime. I've never been in war, never been in battle. But if the situation was to rise, you have to remember, you got to take care of yourself first. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. And that's the way it is spiritually. We got to get in here and we got to drink first. Got to drink it. Drink it. Jesus said, "Drink my blood." Thank God. And he's given us a chance to do it. Don't that make you feel good? I love it. That wonderful feeling. And we got to eat his word. Get as strong as we can get. And then hand it out to others. Hand it out to others. Hand it out to others. I just want you folks to know I feel good being here tonight. I feel good being a part of a church where people want to do right. People want to go in a positive direction. I feel good. I seem like I say the same thing all the time, but when you walk through the door and you feel those arms wrapped all around you, you're in the right place. You're around people that want to go in a positive direction. People who want to do right. And I know we sit here sometimes waiting on one another, but even when we do that, that wonderful feeling is there. And I love it. I can sit here all night. You might say, "Oh, you want to have a Quaker service?" Well, what? If God don't move on anybody to get up and talk, and he moves on every one of us and said, "Here, be quiet," then that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And God can do more in 5 minutes than we can do, in a whole life. He can do more in 5 minutes. But I want y'all to know I appreciate it. I appreciate good people. I appreciate our Lord. I appreciate the words of life that we listen to. I appreciate all this. God is good to us. He gives us so much. I feel like we're living on milk and honey, and that's all right. Thank God. Man.
kids, and it's all about the journey. When will we ever get these kids potty trained? I am so sick of changing diapers. And when it's over, you look back on it. Why did I rush that? I'll never see that again. When you, you know, when your wife's having a baby in the hospital and you've been in labor 10, 12 hours and you're sick of sitting there reading National Geographic and everything there else is to read. And then when it's all said and done, you go home, you look back. 10 years later, see a labor and delivery scene on a TV show or something like that, and what do you think? I'll never go through that again. Why did I rush that? The other day, I know y'all all know, I took a motorcycle trip, and everybody probably thinks I'm half crazy, but it is what it is. And what Sister Dolores is laughing because she probably thinks that too. But yeah, that just confirmed it. But the worst, what every motorcycle rider looks forward to is the twisties. The twisty mountain roads, the scenery, the beautiful, whatever motorcycle rider dreads is the miles and miles of interstate to get there. And I went to Colorado, and you're talking about probably 1,000 miles of interstate, about 750 to get here from here to where even the road gets even halfway interesting. It's just straight as a string, boring. Tractor trailer rigs blowing you all over the place. And I really wanted to go to Colorado, but I really didn't want to do Interstate 40 all the way across to Amarillo. But I got to thinking, what if I didn't have that opportunity? What if I never had the chance to ride again? What if I was in a wheelchair? I would welcome that opportunity. Anything. You put me in a hot parking lot riding around in circles, And I would gladly do it. And I started thinking about that's a part of the journey, that's just all part of the journey. It's not about the destination. Once you get there, the trip's over. The fun's over. And it's not necessarily fun, but it's what am I supposed to learn while I'm there? Maybe that's the time that if it wasn't for that struggle that you went through to get to where you were going, it wouldn't be as good when you got there. And I think about not, I don't want to rush this. I mean, when, of course we have a goal in mind, as a people and as each of us individually, we all have goals. But at the same time, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And I appreciate that. And hearing that tonight, Brother Mike saying that, and it made me think about that was, I don't want to rush this. I want to enjoy these Wednesday nights. We always think about, well, we'll get through these Wednesday nights. We'll get to the high services on Sunday nights. Well, this might be the high service. It might be the high service for someone that we don't know. And we don't know who gets what. It may be that person that's struggling got something out of this service that I tend to discount. One nugget, that's all it takes. And it might be at the very end. It's like playing music. I've played, bluegrass music for a while and haven't played in quite some time, but I remember, you almost have to go through, it's a ratio of probably 7 to 1. Yeah, go through 7 bad jam sessions to have 1 good one. But it's the 7 dull, boring ones that make the 1 good one worth it, that make you appreciate that one. And I want to appreciate what God gives us in these services like this, just the little things sometimes, and sometimes it may not be a little thing. It might be the thing that, it's like this trip to Colorado, it was almost so overwhelming, it was so overwhelming that you have to come back from it to look back on it, to see what you really got while you were there. And a lot of times, services are like that. They talk about, chewing the cud. A lot of times, I won't get much out of a service. I think I'm not. But a week later, when I go through something that it's like, wait a minute, I did get something out of that. So, and I want to appreciate that. And I appreciate these services like this. I know that Wednesday nights they get a bum rap. They do with me. Oh, no. Why am I so tired on Wednesday at 5 o'clock when I'm not that tired on Tuesday at 5 o'clock? I'm not that tired on Thursday or Friday at 5 o'clock. But something about Wednesday at 5 o'clock, that couch is looking right. I mean, it is, and you know it is. But I think that, you know, when we make that, if I want to look at it as a sacrifice, I guess I can. But in a way, you know, I think of the people that don't have that don't even see, you know, what the city of refuge that we have, the place that we have to go to on a Wednesday night, a Sunday night, you know, or whenever, wherever we've always got that city of refuge. We don't have to wait till Wednesday night. But Wednesday night just happens to be what we're talking about right now. But I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I am thankful for the journey.
It's been beneficial, I think. It's been encouraging. It's been good. So why don't we just stand and give a praise before we go home and tie a loose knot in this, and as they say, and pick back up on Sunday. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the good things and the journey that we're on. Be with each and every one as they travel home tonight, and as the kids be able to school in the morning, and everyone travels to work. Keep us throughout the week. In your name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.